Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Everybody here, I hope, knows the name Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. So today in our world, with technology evolving constantly, growing more and more, it's hard to imagine how different things might have been without the contributions of men like Thomas Edison, who died nearly a century ago. Thomas Edison, of course, was the most prolific inventor in American history, and that stems greatly from his own mother. He noted himself that if it had not been for her influences in his life at a very critical time, quote, "I should have never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly," he wrote. "My mother was the making of me." Edison said she was the one who kept him, quote, "on the right path." So the next time you turn on the lights, watch a movie, or listen to recorded music, don't just be thankful for inventors, but be thankful for their mothers. Edison, of course, changed the world as we know it from his inventions. And in his own words, he was once a careless boy who should have turned out badly. But because of his mother cared enough for that boy and his future, her mothering of him impacted the world and history as we know it. So mothers this morning, what about your kids? What can they amount to? Are you writing them off or are you building them up? Are you assuming they're too young or are you raising them now for a better future? Are you raising the next generation of godly men and women? So let's look at our text this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writing this letter to Timothy himself, and he says in verse 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." So this morning I want to preach a sermon I've entitled, A Mother's Value. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for bringing us together in this place. God, we're asking, Lord, that your spirit, God, would speak clearly to us today, God, that you would minister to our hearts and our minds, God, each and every one of us today, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I get into it, I just want to say a couple things. One, if people tend to tune out, oh, it's a mother's sermon, I'm not a mom. No. If you're not a mom, there's still something here for you because it's the Word of God. And if you aspire to be a mom someday, then you can begin preparing now. If you aspire to have a mother of your children someday, then you know what to look for in a woman to mother your children. So the Word of God is in here, therefore it is for everyone. In fact, actually, I struggled writing this sermon. I wanted to, of course, being Mother's Day, focus on motherhood. A good first chunk of it is kind of on parenthood in general. But nonetheless, mothers, I will zero in on you towards the end. Don't worry. So it's important for us to realize, as parents and mothers, of course, that the next generation of the world we live in today is in your hands. It is in your very homes. So we cannot lose focus on the children that we have before us. But we live in a world today that not only is distracting, but it encourages us to focus on things that are external of our home, outside of our house. You see today the distractions or the callings or whatever you want to call it in the world today. What can you accomplish in the workforce? What kind of meaning can I put to my name, to the world out there? What kind of hobbies or careers are there that I can put myself into to feel like I've accomplished something? Now, these things are not necessarily bad, but they are being used today in today's world strategically against motherhood and fatherhood as well, to ultimately damage our children and the future of culture as we know it, especially Christian culture. We are growing up in a generation of people like you and I who either came from broken homes, raised in broken homes, or if their home wasn't broken, they had no real relationship with their parents. Both parents working all kinds of hours, never home, going on weekend trips and hobbies and fishing trips. And again, these things are not bad on their own. But without presence in your child's life, that means they are going without discipleship from their parents. That means there is no educating them in Christian matters, in a Christian worldview. There's no teaching them how to view the world through the lens of the Bible. What the world sells as self-building and self-advancement, accomplishing something in the world, making your mark. We love to say, I'm gonna leave my mark on this company. See, the problem with the you do you mentality that we have today in this world is that oftentimes the people who truly embrace that mentality, at the end of the day, all they have is themselves. You do you, and all you got now is you. But you don't even like you. See, this is a deliberate strategy against the family structure that God has set forth for you and I. Yeah, you might have made your mark, but it's rarely as big as we hoped it would be. One person in a mega corporation, which is what the world is becoming. Maybe you got some big bucks. But ultimately, no matter what we do in this world, in or outside of our house, we are only here for a short time. And we leave a very temporary impact on a big world that will forget about us very quickly. It's just the truth. But the question is for us, what impact have we left on our children? Proverbs 22:6, an iconic verse for parenthood, tells us, train up the child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. But this world is full of parents that are shocked that their children backslid and left the faith, while simultaneously they put their kids in 40 plus hours a week of childcare or sent them to a schooling system that is anti-God and never spent any time training their kids in the way of the Lord. They left that to the Sunday school teachers. Let me tell you, just like how church services, as I say all the time, is not enough for you, it certainly is not enough for them. There must be an at-home cultivation of their relationship with God. Now, I want to take a moment to pause here and note, I am not knocking hardworking parents. I understand how hard it is to make things happen in today's world. I get that there are sacrifices that have to be made. It's expensive to be alive today. But I am absolutely not going to mince words here. I am knocking parents who are seeking wealth at the cost of their children's soul. But I am not knocking the ones who are just trying to make things work to put food on the table. But wealthy or poor, it doesn't matter. It needs to be our focus to raise these kids right and prioritize them higher than any paycheck, higher than any promotion, higher than any education that we could ever accomplish. Dr. John Traynor says, children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. See, the reality is our time on this earth is short, and it won't matter much to our kids if we leave them with a measure of wealth, if we also left them with depression, anxiety, and the feelings of being unloved, neglected by the God-given most important relationship a young human could ever have, its mother and father. So our focus, if we have kids, is our children. I say all the time, my number one ministry on this earth is my wife, my second ministry is my children. If we aren't careful, we will begin to see our children in the wrong way. We will begin to see them as an obligation. We begin to see them as a distraction. They're holding us back from other things, a hindrance from what we really want to accomplish in life. The things we really want to get out and do, we begin to just kind of look at them as a bunch of snotty-nosed brats. By the way, this one's for free. If you think your kid is a brat, guess whose fault it is? Just saying. Mothers and fathers. This is a Mother's Day sermon that goes to both. 2 Timothy 1:5, our text this morning. Paul writes, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Paul credits the sincere faith of Timothy to his mother and his grandmother. Many scholars debate that perhaps she was a single mother, that there was no dad in the picture, perhaps died or left or whatever. Broken homes in that day and age were a little bit less common, but they did happen. But nonetheless, they because of this very verse, they questioned, was Timothy's mother, Lois, was she a single mom for whatever reason? But ultimately, the remarkability of this text is the same. That Paul is noting the impact of the faith of Timothy's mother that it had on this man who is now an adult. And what a remarkable nod of recognition this is. That Paul takes time to commend the faithfulness of his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois. And because of their faithfulness in raising Timothy, their faithfulness as a grandmother and as a mother is now marked in all of human history because of their faithfulness and how they raised Timothy. And now, at this point, as Paul writes this letter to Timothy, Timothy is a man of God. He is a pastor of a church. He's instrumental in the foundation of the early Christian church. This is when God is constructing the Christian church, and Timothy is being a part of it. He's being discipled by Paul the Apostle himself. Who wouldn't sign up for that? You see, raising kids is not easy, which is why we must remain focused on what is before us. Now listen to me. This is going to sound familiar. As your kid looks up at you with snot running down their face, some type of red sauce all over their mouth, and a mysterious smudge of who knows what on their forehead, hair flying in every direction, tears running out of their eyes, crying because you won't let them have ice cream for dinner. You laugh now, but you weren't laughing then. You have to slow down. And breathe and think about what's standing before you. Is it only what I just described? Is that all you see is some obnoxious little turd whining? I'm not saying they ain't that. They can be that way. Or can you look at that child, snot running down their face, and see them as a future laborer for God? See them as a future faithful man or woman of God? As a future, who knows, preacher, faithful pillar in the church, future missionary, a future mother and father. What exampleship are they learning from your parenting of them? You see, the focus can't only be, what is this kid right now standing before me? But what if I raise this kid in the ways of the Lord, and by the grace of God and by my hard labors, what can God use this kid for? Am I doing my wholehearted part as a parent to make sure they are ready to step into destiny someday? Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." This is a story of little kids wanting to come and sit on Jesus' lap, like physically, literally, and the disciples start rebuking the kids and their parents. And Jesus is like, no, kids matter. They matter. They are the future of my kingdom. This is a literal story, but what about metaphorical? Is the way we are raising our children hindering them from Jesus? Or is the way that we're raising our kids directing them to Jesus? Because just as Jesus wanted to actually say hi to the kids, maybe give them a little high five, put them on their knee and go for a pony ride, as we like to do with those little children, just as he wanted them to be able to literally come to them, he wants your children to be able to spiritually come to him. Are you hindering that? Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. We must be directing our kids to Jesus. Even before they can ever speak, we should be speaking of Christ to them. No matter what we accomplish in life, if we fail to point our kids to Christ in their adolescence and through their teen years into their adulthood, then we have failed as parents. This is why the role of a mother, in my opinion, is one of the most crucially important roles any human can take on, male or female, old or young. Mothers are crucial to society, to the future of the church, and to culture as a whole. Mothers play a major role in what the future of our world will look like tomorrow. There is immeasurable value in a faithful mother. First, the value of a mother on earth. The reality is, we do not have our kids forever. Eventually, we have to release them into the real world. And every effort that we put into raising them is now put to the test. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. God commanding Israel and now us today, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So in other words, teach your kids the words of God always. It should be a part of your everyday, even hourly life before your children. God's commanding us to teach our kids diligently the word of God. We cannot wait until they're older. We have to start today. A vast majority of the time, even in households where both parents work, mothers naturally spend a lot more time with their kids than the fathers do. The role of a mother is irreplaceable. And it cannot be duplicated. I looked around online to kind of get some statistics to back this idea up. And many of the statistics that I found show that households, even where both parents work, the mother still had spent about 3 to 5 more hours a day with the kids. In a single income household where the mother stays home, which is getting more and more rare today, these numbers are obviously much larger. In my home, for example, Monday through Friday, I get about 3 to 4 hours on a good day of waking hours with my kids, while my wife, who is a stay-at-home mother by the grace of God, she spends anywhere from like 12 to 13 hours a day with our kids. That's a lot. We cannot underestimate the impact mothers have on their children. As we raise our kids in the ways of the Lord, inevitably the mother will have a tremendous amount of opportunity to do this or to neglect this. So mothers, are you raising and influencing the next generation of laborers, of inventors, of business owners, of educators, scientists, doctors, counselors, even pastors, pastors' wives, missionaries, church leaders, evangelists, and the next generation of mothers and fathers? What are you instilling in them today to influence them in their future? Will they step out into the world with you knowing that you did all that you could spiritually and disciplinary to prepare them for this life? I know a lot of people who are my age who will tell you they stepped into adulthood with zero knowledge of what to do. And they didn't do so well. What are you instilling them in them today to influence their future? Will they see an example? Did you exemplify a faith and teach them a faith that can endure the trials of this world? Because this world is getting harder and harder to endure. I can't imagine that there's anything in this world more painful as a parent, a Christian parent, to watch their children backslide into the world. 3 John chapter 4, John writes to his church, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, John, of course, is writing this letter to his church, who he's calling his children, his spiritual children, but the principle is the same, if not even greater. That there is no greater joy than to see your own children walking in the truth of God. You see, many of you here, you did not grow up in the faith. If you did, perhaps at one point you left it. You have endured so much pain. You've been through tremendous heartache, trials, and struggles. Do you realize that the way you raise your small children today can help them avoid that very same pain that you endured? There is nothing in this world more successful for a mother to do than to raise Christian children to grow up into faithful men and women of God. There is not a single thing a mother can do on this planet that is a greater success than to raise godly children. I don't care if you go become a CEO of some massive corporation. I don't care if your children are going to hell. You're doing something wrong. You can save them from the pain that you went through, but it has to start today. Hopefully it started already. If it hasn't, it has to start today. But this is just this life, this earth. Oh, the joy to see your children grow up and be good Christian men and women in a wicked world and generation. But there are eternal rewards as well. A mother watching their children live a good life as adults is undoubtedly a reward of immeasurable value. But the ultimate reward is to see her own children in heaven someday. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As mothers, this is your goal. As Christians, this is our goal, to press on for the goal of Jesus Christ, to make eternity our heaven. But as mothers, your goal is also to see your children accomplish the same thing, to see your children succeed in the same area, mothers and fathers alike. If anything we do hinders our children from the pursuit of Jesus Christ, it is not worth whatever we think we're going to gain from it. It's not worth it. Seeing your own children in heaven someday, what a glorious treasure that would be. No one, and I mean no one on this earth can impact a child like their parents can. And many people will refute that. They'll say, my parents didn't like me and I didn't like my parents. We didn't get along in high school, blah, 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 blah. Well, do it differently then. Cultivate that relationship today. Listen, one of the greatest revelations I ever had in my life actually came from a comedy skit. At least in my parenting life. But the comedy skit is he's talking about how kids, I don't remember the setting of the joke that he's telling, but he's like talking about a kid with his balloon and he accidentally lets go and it floats away and the kid starts crying and screaming, right? And so many parents react to that. There's a joke somewhere in there. I don't even remember the joke, but the lesson that God taught me from this is far greater than any joke. But so the kid lets go of the balloon and he makes the point that kids always tell him, shut up, it's just a balloon, you can buy another one, blah, 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 whatever. And then he says, maybe this was the joke, he says, imagine if your wallet was tied to that string. You would care, right? As adults, if our wallet starts floating off into the sky, we would probably throw a fit as well. But the revelation that God gave me through this is that just as important as that balloon is to that child, it resembles bigger and greater issues down the road. That if we don't take the struggles of our children seriously today at the age of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, dumb things. My friends called me a meanie head. And we say, whatever, kid, just keep playing. If we don't teach them to come to us in those things, if we don't take them seriously as they battle these battles as small children that seem so insignificant to us, then they will not come to you when their boyfriend's pressuring them to sleep with them. Because just as important as that is at the age of 16 is the same level of importance as it was to them at the age of 6. And you taught them at the age of 6 that you don't care about their problems. It starts today. You cannot wait until later. Where was I? No one on earth has a greater impact on their children than you, the parents. And that starts at this age. That's how I got there. That you care about their problems today, they will know you care about them in high school. I don't believe the crap that they tell you in the world today that you can't have a relationship with your high schooler. I don't buy it. You can sit here and look me in the face and say, well, you don't have any teenagers. I say, well, call me in 10 years because I'm doing it God's way. I have confidence in God's parenting plan that I don't have to wait to see if it works out to tell you how to do it. Because I have wisdom from the scriptures. Because God knows how to do it. The impact on your teenage children, the impact on your young adult children starts when they are just children. And if you want that impact, you walk through the door, get home from work, mommy, daddy, they give you a big hug. If you want them to continue to look at you that way, then you have to look at their issues the way they see their issues. And no one on earth spends more time with their young children than a child's mother. And Paul writes, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. First of all, that's pretty cool, right? To have Paul tell you, I'm reminded, in the writing of this letter, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Like, dude, Paul comes to me, he's like, dude, your faith is sincere. I'm like, phew. Thanks. Like, right, that's pretty cool in itself. But then he gives credit where credit is due. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. This is a generational faith. We talk about generational curses. There are generational blessings as well. Timothy, a disciple of the Apostle Paul, a pastor in the breaking out of the early Christian church, an effective leader, a powerful man of God. But at one point in his life, he was just a snot-nosed, farting, burping, messy, whiny little kid. And his mother did not let any of that stop her from instilling the virtue of faith into her boy. So mothers, as you struggle with these children, remember, they are precious. They are God's, and he's trusted you with them. And they have a powerful destiny. Instill faithfulness into them today so that you can see fruitfulness in their lives tomorrow. There is no greater accomplishment. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning.